Good morning. It's really good to be with you this morning, and thank you for Paul for leading us into worship, and for Trevor and Ruth and the worship band, for everybody setting at worship for us this morning. And I particularly like the fact that you found a Welsh narrator for that video, because, I mean, you know, this just follows on seamlessly. You might think it's a bit strange that we're looking at the Emmaus Road when it's not Easter. And yet, for me, this story is one for all the year. And when Andrew and I were sort of talking about this, and Andrew was saying he had in mind a sort of a bit of a theme preach at present, going perhaps looking at the highways and the changed times we all go through in life, this was the reading that came to me. And actually, when I was watching that video, I particularly liked the way they sort of portrayed it as a road of ups and downs. That's life, isn't it? That times when everything's going smoothly and then we hit a pothole, or worse. It's my favourite Easter story. But as I've said, it's not just for Easter. It is, of course, a story about a journey. A journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus. We don't actually really know where Emmaus was, but the descriptions in the Bible seem to suggest it was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. A journey of two travellers going to this little town or village. They're in a state of shock. They've been in Jerusalem with the other followers of Jesus. Perhaps they were there for the Holy Week, as we would term it. Maybe they were there on Palm Sunday and all the excitement of that. And then as the week unfolded, all the trials and tribulations of that week, perhaps they were there at the Last Supper. Perhaps they were there watching as Jesus was crucified. But they certainly know about what's happened on Easter morning. Some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And in this story we know so well, these two followers of Jesus don't recognize him. Even when he explains to them the meaning of all that has happened. And I love this phrase. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted them the things about himself in all the scriptures. Well, it makes you suggest that road was a bit longer than 7 miles. But anyway, perhaps Jesus could paraphrase very quickly. And then they reach Emmaus, and they invite him in to stay, for the day is almost over. And when he was at table with them, he took bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. Now, Andrew said to me, and I'm getting this in first, so I don't get the blame. He said, well, because everybody sat at tables, David, they can have a discussion. Now, I know some of you will think, great, and others of you think, oh, great. But I promise you, it's not the kind of discussion where we're asking for feedback. You can just have a little chat amongst yourselves, but I'm going to ask you a couple of questions just to get you thinking about this story and what it means. So, why do you think they were travelling to Jerusalem? Sorry, that's a bit small. So, why do you think they were travelling to Jerusalem? And why do you think they didn't stay in Jerusalem with the others? So, just for a couple of minutes, turn to those on your table and have a think of those questions. Why were they travelling? Why were they travelling to Emmaus from Jerusalem? And why do you think they didn't stay in Jerusalem? Okay, right. So, as I said, I'm not going to put anybody on the spot and ask you to give your comments, but you know, if you feel led to share something briefly, feel free. Is anything that particularly strikes anybody? If not, we'll move on. It's not a problem, but you might have thought, oh, I've not thought of that before.
Fear.
Fear. Fear. Right. Liz. So just going home out of practicality. Right. Okay. So Luke doesn't tell us why they're travelling. So maybe as Liz and her group have just said, maybe they're just going home. Maybe they've got some business they now have to do in Emmaus. Or, as David just shared, well, maybe they're frightened and they're getting away from the terrible things they've seen in Jerusalem, these things that actually are scary and don't make sense. And maybe, just maybe, the Emmaus Road symbolizes exactly that. The Emmaus Road could stand for us as a time when we need to escape. When everything seems a bit too much and we have to flee. In a book written quite a few years ago now called The Magnificent Defeat, Christian writer Frederick Buchner said this: Emmaus is the place we go to escape. It could be a bar, it could be a movie. It's wherever it is we throw up our hands and say, let the whole darn thing go hang. It makes no difference anyway. Emmaus may be buying a new car because it makes us feel better. It may mean buying new clothes. It may mean reading a second-rate novel or even writing one. Emmaus may mean going to church. Emmaus is whatever we do or wherever we go to make ourselves forget that the world holds nothing sacred. That even the wisest and the bravest and the loveliest decay and die. That even the noblest ideas that men have had, ideas about love and freedom and justice, have always in time been twisted out of shape by selfish men for selfish ends. So what he's getting over, Frederick Buchner, is, as I say, that Emmaus can symbolize for us somewhere that we go to get away. We're afraid. It's on that journey, it's that time when we're really down, when we're struggling, and we think all is lost. So, another little brief discussion for you. Have any of you ever found yourselves on the Emmaus Road, wanting to get away from something? What was your Emmaus Road? So have you ever found yourselves on the Emmaus Road, wanting to get away from something? And what was your Emmaus Road? So again, just have a brief chat amongst yourselves. Okay, it's fine. I think that second set of questions are far deeper, far more personal. So I wouldn't expect you in a way to want to share in public. But I hope amongst yourselves you've been able to think about that point. So what this story is reminding us is that we encounter Jesus on our own Emmauses. He meets us in ordinary places, at ordinary times, and in the experiences of our lives. And he meets us when we retreat to somewhere or something when life is getting too much. And that's the real encouragement of this story. But of course, it also reminds us that Jesus comes to us in unfamiliar ways and in unfamiliar guises when we least expect him. Luke doesn't tell us what it was that prevented these two disciples on the Emmaus Road from recognizing Jesus. Or for that matter, why did Mary not recognize Jesus on Easter morning, first of all? We're not told. When I was at college, I remember us discussing the Emmaus story, and a lecturer who was... if there are any radical feminists sat here today, just sit down for a moment, because I'm not meaning to offend you. But this lecturer was a very radical feminist, and her view was that Jesus wasn't recognized because actually he was now a woman. Now, that was an interesting take, I have to say. One or two in the class who were, I think I physically had to restrain my friend Steve. I don't think that's necessarily what was going on. But there was something, obviously, that Jesus, the risen Jesus, was different. So have we encountered that Christ, I wonder? Have we sensed his presence in some unexpected way or in some unexpected place? I'm not asking you to talk about that point. That's for you to take away, because that's even more personal, I think. Who knows, maybe you will want to share after church with somebody else how you've had that really personal encounter at some unexpected time with Jesus. But that's often how it is. When we least expect Jesus to come alongside, he does. I think the other thing that, for me, makes this story so special is that there's a hidden humour in it. Somehow, I imagine Jesus found it really funny that he's walking alongside these two disciples. They don't recognise him, and they're telling him everything that's gone on. Yeah, I know, I was there. But he doesn't say. He just listens to them, pouring out their hearts, telling him everything he knows, but giving them a good listening to. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interprets things for them. But even then, he doesn't really say who he is, does he? They still don't recognize him. It's only when they come to the table, when he takes bread, when he breaks it, and he gives thanks, that their eyes are opened and they recognize him. In my early years as a minister, you know, fresh out of college, new out of the box, I wasn't sure about children at communion. After all, you know, what do they know about communion? I do, because I've been to college. What do they know? And one of my churches over in Swindon, like here, the children were welcome to receive communion. Well, okay, we'll go along with it for now, but you know, we'll sort this out. And this one Sunday, a little girl, I'm just going to call her Jane came up to the communion rail with her family, an elder sister, two older brothers, mum and dad, and she knelt down. She was about five. And I went along, you know, and bread in their hands. And I got to Jane. She stuck her hands out and gave me a big smile. And then I encountered Jesus. The Jesus of the Emmaus Road laughing at me. Come on, David, you think they're not supposed to be here? I'm here. That for me was a real revelation. Then my eyes were opened and I recognized him. But he vanished from my sight. So this Emmaus story reminds us that our encounters with Jesus may be fleeting. One writer in one of my commentaries puts it this way: our encounters with Jesus may be elusive, fleeting, dancing at the edge of our awareness and perception. And yet, God's faithful perceive God's presence in these fleeting moments, and then the mundane closes in again. No sooner have we encountered Jesus than he moves on. That's not to say he's not with us all the time. It's just that every now and again, we'll encounter Jesus in some unexpected way. And we say, ah, and then he goes. It's part of the great mystery of our faith. But those moments when we do have these encounters with Jesus, perhaps through somebody else, those moments are really special. They're the moments when the Holy Spirit is working out his purpose. They're things we hold on to, things we cherish, things we share with others. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. That's what we will do. We will share our love of Christ through those fleeting moments we encounter him. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, first and foremost, we give you thanks for those times in our lives when we have encountered you, in whatever way that may be, when we have had a glimpse of you through worship, through reading something in the Bible, through a prayer, through a conversation, through love shown to us by someone else. We thank you for those moments. And now, Lord Jesus, we come before you to pray for your world. And Lord Jesus, we pray for your church in the world. Firstly, we pray for this fellowship here at Sheldon Road. We thank you that we are now able to worship you together once again. We thank you for the fellowship, the friendship that we can enjoy once again in person. And we ask that your Holy Spirit flows through this church, cleansing, blowing away the cobwebs of being closed for 18 months, refreshing, renewing, giving a new vision. We pray for Andrew. Bless his ministry here, we pray. A ministry that started in a way that none of us could have expected, where he has had to not engage with people as he would have wished because we've had to be closed. So may this time be a renewal for him, a restarting for him. And we pray for our fellow churches around the circuit. And we pray too that the Methodist Church will be guided by the Holy Spirit and send a minister then to replace Mark Barrett when he retires next year. We pray for other Christians in this town. And may the Christians in this town be a real visible presence of you, Lord Jesus. We pray for our world, or I should say, your world, Lord Jesus. At Synod yesterday, the Methodist District Synod, we heard how groups are working around this area to make people aware of the dangers of climate change, of how this world is God's world, and we are invited and have a responsibility to look after it. And we pray that all Christians will realize the importance of that. And Father, we think of countries perhaps in the Pacific where the sea levels are rising. And I know, Father God, from conversations with Fijian members of the congregation at Lynham, how worried they are that their homeland is literally shrinking as sea levels rise. Guide us through your Holy Spirit on what we can do. But more importantly, guide the world leaders of the vital importance of us getting this right. We pray for members of this church who are unwell, perhaps at home, perhaps are in hospital. We pray for those who are caring for them, their families. But of course, the nurses and doctors and other healthcare professionals. And we pray for John, whose funeral will take place this week. And we pray for his friends and family as they mourn. May they know the comfort that you can bring to their lives, Lord Jesus, at this time of sorrow. We offer all these prayers to you, the prayers that have been said and the prayers on our hearts and minds. We offer them all to you in your holy name. Amen. And we say together the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Send us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. As we prepare to share communion together, we sing our communion hymn, Here is Bread, Here is Wine. And stewards, this might be a good time to let the young people know that we'll be sharing communion in a moment.